Good evening, everyone. Can we all open up with a word of prayer? Father, we will continue to thank you and to praise you for the good things you've done for us, but we praise you and we thank you for what you did in Justin's life and Justin's mom, Lord. That every single miracle, every single breakthrough just points to you, Lord. And so we thank you, Father, for just, we pray for his mom, we pray for Justin, Lord, that they just continue to grow closer to you. And you just bless them, Father. We thank you for the service, God. We thank you for the words that I'm going to speak, that they're not my words. It's not my opinion, not my intellect, but it is you, God, the Holy Spirit speaking through me, Father. I yield right now to who you are and who I am in you, Father. And that we not only would I preach from you, Lord, but that we would listen with you in mind, Father. We would listen with hearts that say, I need Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen,
amen, amen, amen, amen. You know, in the Old Testament, this is not, I don't know why I'm talking about this right now, but in the Old Testament, this happened especially in the life of Abraham. So God tells Abraham to leave your country. And by then, like, Abraham's already had, like, an established life. Everyone say established.
Established.
He had an established life. He had a wife. He had no kids. He had a wife. He had servants. He had cattle. He was rich. And he lived with his parents. His parents were idol makers. And Abraham is like, he's old. He's like, I think he's like in his 80s. I think he's 83. God tells Abraham, leave your country. Leave and go to a place I will show you. He doesn't tell him where he's going. He just tells him to leave. And so Abraham packs his stuff. And by mean stuff, I mean like all his sheep, all his cattle, all his servants, his wife, and his nephew goes with them. And like it's just this mass of people. And it's so big that further down the line they actually had to split up because their shepherds are fighting with their own shepherds for like grass and land and all that stuff. Anyways, so what would happen is so Abraham is on this journey and he's not sure where he's going, but all he's doing is he's just following the voice of God. And I love this word picture because God calls Abraham from where he thought his life was. And he calls him out, and I feel like God didn't purposely tell him where he was going because the destination wasn't in the natural. His destination wasn't a physical place, but his destination was spiritual. And so Abraham gets called out of his country, called out of his home, and what would happen is that Abraham would settle in a place, build an altar. Altars point to worship. Everyone say worship. He would create these altars, and then he would go to Egypt, get in trouble for lying, get kicked out, and he would go back to the altar, and he would commune with God. He would listen to the Lord, and he would spend time with God. And I'm speaking to everyone, but really, I'm speaking to, I don't even, where's Justin? Oh, hi. Hey, sit right here, dude. Sit right here. God's doing something in your life. Sit right here. Sorry, didn't mean to leave. There's another seat up here if you want, Destiny. You okay? All right. That's cool. You are special, sir. So I'm speaking to him, but I'm speaking to all of us. Everyone say all of us.
All of us.
So what would happen is in Abraham's life, and he built several altars, is that he would build an altar and he would go and something would happen that wasn't the most fortunate thing, and he would come back to the altar and he would worship. And if you guys look this up, science tells us that just remembering good memories helps you physically. It's the forgotten good memories, I feel, and this is a case by case, but and even Paul says that this in the New Testament, but when you remember what God has done in your life, it creates faith. And this wasn't just with altars. It wasn't just a physical place where people would worship, but when the children of Israel, when they were walking for years and years and years, they would sing songs. And they weren't just songs to pass the time. They weren't just lullabies to have their kids go to sleep, but they were these songs that they would sing that would bring to remembrance how God brought them out of Egypt, how God parted the Red Seas. These weren't just songs for fun or for entertainment, but they were songs specifically designed to create this faith and this trust that God would do it again. And so I'm talking to everyone here, but whenever God does something in your life, don't forget it and do not take it for granted. I feel like we get in this tendency and to have a breakthrough and then to be satisfied with a breakthrough. We weren't created to be satisfied with a breakthrough. A breakthrough is only meant to bring you closer to Jesus so you can continue breaking through and continue breaking through and continue breaking through. This year, I found out, I realized, and it took a lot. It took hours and hours of conversation. Everyone say hours. Of figuring out what the heck was going on with me. I found out, here's what I found out. That I had been dealing with anxiety my whole life, and I didn't know it. Like anxiety, like as in like, it affected decisions that I made, and how I, and it was because of lack of understanding how I felt sometimes. And so I said a lot of things, but here's the result of it, is that I felt this anxiety because I never dealt with emotions or things that I went through. Does that make sense? And I would just continually fill my life with distractions, with just stuff, so that I wouldn't have to, so I can just, and I, so like, it was an attempt for me to move on, but I couldn't move on. It was an attempt for me to forget how I feel and just get away from whatever feeling or whatever's going on. It was a desperation for me to just do as much as I can so I don't have to deal with whatever I'm feeling. To be honest, I don't completely know why I dealt with anxiety. Like I can't say, oh yeah, this happened when I was a kid and that happened when I was older and this happened in school and someone threw a peanut at my face and it hurt a lot, and it never got to that point. But when I stopped and I turned around and I started saying, you know what, I gotta figure this out. I'm not gonna let this affect me anymore. God came through, the Holy Spirit showed me through various sources and through the Bible and through close friends of just how I can deal with this. And God came through, and I just praise God for that. I should start preaching. I'm gonna start preaching. Sorry, no, well the message. If you guys are taking notes, the title of today's sermon is Purpose Killers. Purpose killers. You okay, man? I'm okay too. Purpose killers. Plural, senor. Purpose killers. Raise your hand if you were here last week. Awesome. Was last week awesome or what?
Yes.
Here's what's amazing. Oh my gosh, here's what's amazing. There's one reason why last week happened. The Holy Spirit. Literally, like there's no question. It wasn't a good idea. It wasn't it wasn't like a team meeting. It wasn't like a spur. It was the Holy Spirit, right, Shayla? Yeah. She came up to me. She's like, "Hey, I think we should like do another song." I was like, "Let's do it." I didn't know what's going on, but like, if you feel that, like, let's do it. And what came out of it was like, my gosh, right? We heard amazing testimonies again, remembering things God did. We heard amazing testimonies. We were prophesying over each other. We were crying, sniffling. It was awesome. A lot of people got breakthroughs, right?
Yeah.
Now, just because that doesn't happen, just because that isn't happening today, doesn't mean that God's not moving. We need to be careful to not get caught up in a routine of like, wow, that was so awesome. Why isn't it happening this week? No. Everyone say no. See, God still has something for you today. God still has something for you tonight. And just because you received breakthrough last Wednesday doesn't mean there's no breakthrough today. Because breakthrough should not be contingent on our worship, like the worship team. Does that make sense? Do not be like Saul. Someone asked me about Saul.
Who's Saul?
I don't know. No, I'm kidding. In the Old Testament, you guys all know David, right? David kills Goliath, right? David was known as a worshiper. We keep talking about worship. David was known as a worshiper, and he was also a shepherd. He was a worshiping shepherd, so he probably sang with the sheep. Ba, ba, black. Anyways. And so he's with the sheep, and he's a worshiper, and he was known as a worshiper. He played the harp. And Saul, who was the current king of Israel, he disobeys God, and he continually disobeys God, and he lies about disobeying God. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God left Saul, and Saul didn't even know it. But because Saul had the Spirit of God resting on him, and we know this from Jesus, is that the Spirit of God leaves Saul, and it gets replaced with a distressing spirit. That when there's a void of the Lord, things will fill it, guys. Things will fill it. When I didn't have God in my life, I filled my life with a lot of things. Yeah. That meant nothing in the end. Mm. Well, it's not the end yet, but they still mean nothing. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
So the Spirit of God leaves Saul and a distressing spirit. And here's what happens is that they hear about a young boy named David who worships. And so they bring David into to Saul's whatever castle, whatever home, and David starts to worship. And when David would worship, the distressing spirit would leave Saul, and it caused Saul to be dependent on someone else's worship. It caused Saul to be dependent on David. I need you to communicate with God to make me feel better. Now, I'm going to say something, and if I offend you, talk to me after service. We'll talk it out. But this, I cannot help, and I feel like I have to say it, I can't help seeing that and then seeing how, because I grew up Catholic, and I was told over and over again that I couldn't communicate with God myself. I had to go through a priest, or I had to go through saints, or I had to go through the, can I say these things? Is this okay? Are you guys okay? Or I had to go through the Virgin Mary in order to communicate with the Lord. Am I the only one? No, am I the only one? I'm not the only one. But Jesus was so clear that there's only one way to the Father. It's only one way. Jesus is enough, guys. He is enough. Anything that you need, he is enough. Like his presence, who he is, it's enough, guys. It's not like Jesus give me peace and he gives you peace. No, he is peace, and you just get in him and he gets in you, and you have. I'm picking on you. Is that okay?
That's right.
And you have peace because that's who he is. He doesn't like dish out peace, and you know he is all of those things. That's pretty amazing, right? Like it's like a part of him, and that's why Paul over and over again is like, oh my gosh, like this is who he is. Like there is no shadow of turning. There's no character. Like it's not. Any choice God makes is out of love because that's who he is. He cannot. God doesn't hate you, guys. God cannot make a choice or a decision based on hate because there's no hate in him. He cannot make a choice out of fear. It's like, oh, man, you shouldn't go there because I'm afraid you're going to get hurt. Like, he makes no choice. He doesn't speak out of fear. He doesn't act out of fear. He doesn't think about fear. His thoughts for you are a multitude. It means you can't even count how many thoughts he has for you. But God is love, and everything he says, everything he does, it is out of love. Because that's who he is.
Yeah.
Everyone say purpose killers. I gotta stay on point. Can you put up a first scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24? We'll start here. I didn't finish my point. Many of you guys received breakthrough last week, and that's because the Holy Spirit created an atmosphere where this was possible. Because we obeyed the Holy Spirit, we literally opened up the floodgates of heaven, and there was blessings and breakthrough and healing, all the stuff just came out, and we're like, yes, it's awesome, right? Was it awesome? It was awesome. If you missed it, it was awesome. But that does not have to be contingent. Church is a place where that should happen all the time. But the experience that you had on Wednesday last week should empower you to do it again on Thursday.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me, guys?
Yeah.
You felt the Holy Spirit. You felt the presence of God. You got breakthrough. You got healing. Like, oh my gosh, like, I don't feel like a dummy anymore. God says I'm smart. Like, I'm not making fun of you if God told that to you. I'm really not. I'm just... The one thing that I've struggled with is that I'm just not good enough, and what I do is not good enough. And God says, I said you're good enough before you did anything for me. So I'm the first one to say, God, I I need God's validation. I really do. Like, I cannot live without him saying, like, you're doing a good job, because I will die. I will die. Anyways. So what happened last Wednesday is not supposed to be contained on Wednesday. It's supposed to be a stepping stone, a launching point for you to, on Thursday, to press in, and on Friday to continue. Like, it's supposed to push you to get closer to him. Not for you to have all of these amazing things happen on Wednesday, and then you go to school Thursday, you go to school Friday, you forgot to do your essays, and then Saturday, you're hanging out with your friends, you go to Disneyland, and then oh, Sunday's cool. If you guys go to church Sunday, okay, cool. And then you get like a spiritual reset. And then Monday, you got to go to school again. You have homework, AP classes, honors classes, college. And then Tuesday, all of these things. And it's like, oh, I got to do my chores, fix my bed, brush my teeth, all this stuff. Well, you should brush your teeth every day, actually, not just Tuesdays, please. And then Wednesday comes, oh, cool, God, awesome. God's going to move again. We're going to have breakthrough. We're going to have healing. Oh, man, I've been waiting for this all week. Why have you been waiting for it all week? When the God of the universe has decided and chosen, he chose to live inside of you. You're waiting on God, and God's like, I'm in you. What are you waiting for? I'm in you. So David has to worship for Saul, and my point is, you don't need to wait for us to play the music. You don't have to wait for me to speak for you to get a breakthrough and to experience. Listen, if you have a distressing spirit, if you're under depression, if you have anxiety, if you have fear, whatever it may be, I'm telling you guys that you don't have to wait for Wednesdays to encounter God. You don't. If anything, Jesus encourages for you, tells all of us, he's like, hey, when you pray, go into the secret place. Hey, we just sang about that. I love that song. Because it points to how the Lord wants to commune, fellowship, hang out in the secret place where no one sees. It is a place where the world isn't. It is a place where all the voices, all the thoughts, all the emotions get shut out, and it is just you and the Lord. It is a beautiful thing, guys. And God is such an amazing God that he doesn't make you work for it. He doesn't. He's a good father. You guys remember the story of the prodigal son? Father, can I have my inheritance, one third of it? Because I want to go find my life. I want to go find myself. You guys ever heard that? I don't raise your hand if you said this, but it's like, I just want to leave home because I want to find my life, or I want to find myself. I want to find out who I am. Am I the only one who's heard this? No. Not the only one, right? I want to move out because, like, you just feel like your parents are controlling you. We're not going to talk about that part. We're not. But people want to leave certain situations because they want to find who they are, right? As if situations dictate who they are. See, all what's going to happen is who you are is not going to change based on your situations. It's really not. And so for you to say, I need to get out of this place because my situation is going to change and then I'm going to change, you have it backwards. And so the prodigal son leaves the father with his inheritance, and the prodigal living speaks to, you know, gambling, drugs, prostitution, everything else, right? In him trying to find his life, he actually ends up losing it because he ends up working for a farmer, and his only job is to feed the pigs. And he's so hungry and so poor that he wants to eat the sludge, the googly gook that the pigs eat. Like, can you imagine that? Can you imagine being so hungry that you're craving your dog's food? Don't tell me if you've craved your dog. I don't want to know. Some of y'all are weird sometimes, I'm telling you. So the prodigal son, I'm going to say prodigal son. Get me on track. So he leaves the father, and he loses his life. He gets to the point, and here's what the Bible says, that he came to himself. He came to himself and he said, you know what, I am messed up. I'm probably going to die because I'm so poor and I'm so hungry. I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. Can I just be a servant? I just want to be a servant, because your servants certainly eat better than me, who's not eating at all. I just want to be your servant. And it's so interesting because, like, in him, sorry, I'm just, I feel like I'm ranting a lot, but you guys following along so far? So in him coming back, sorry, in him leaving his father's house, everyone say the father's house. In him leaving, and you guys know the parable, it's a representation of God the Father. In him leaving God the Father and trying to find something else, he loses his life, he loses everything, and he loses his value. He loses his value, and we see that because when he comes back, he doesn't see himself as a son anymore, but he sees himself as, I'm just going to be a servant. I'm just going to be a slave. I'm just going to work for food because that's way better than anything I'm experiencing out there. He loses his value as a son. You guys know the story. He comes back, and the father is already waiting for him. He sees him from afar off. The son comes, already has a speech prepared. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. And the father doesn't even listen to him. He tells the servants, hey, guys, get the fatted calf, fattest one we have, and we're going to have a party because my son was lost. From the perspective of the father, listen to me. From the perspective of the father, my son was lost and now he was found. It's so interesting because God has a perspective and we have a perspective. And many times it just doesn't line up. The son had an idea. Here, come up, man. This is Daniel. Say hi to Daniel. God's been blessing you, hasn't he?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm the son. He's the father. When the son was lost and he lost his value, he was going to dictate what this relationship was going to look like. God, I'm going to come to you and this is how it's going to look like. And the father says, no, like, you're still my son. I cannot make God a slave master, and God would not make me a slave. He dictates this relationship. Does that make sense? Yeah. And if he says I'm a son, then that's it. I'm a son. It doesn't matter how I feel or how I think. I'm still a son. It's up to us to step into that and to walk in that. And so many of us, we think and we feel and we act so defeated as if God isn't a loving father, but he's an angry person who's just a taskmaster. I say this all the time, and I love it. Can you go up on the stage, sir? I say this all the time. It's like we feel like we're over here and like we're struggling with life and we're trying to get to God. We're like, God, I'm trying to get to you. And he's like calling me from over there, calling me, and I'm like trying to figure this out. And God, I don't even know how to, look at this hair. I can't go through this. I'm having trouble. I love your hair, by the way. I'm not making fun of it. But, I want to say but. Come down here, Daniel. Here's the amazing thing about God. God doesn't lead from afar off. Closer, sir. Give me a hug, brother. He leads with himself. He leads with himself. Does that make sense? All right, you can take a seat. And I don't know how you guys feel today. I don't know if you guys feel lost and you're trying to grasp for whatever it is. Today was purpose killers. I haven't talked a lot about purpose, but I will now. God has a purpose for every single one of our lives. He has a calling. It's not a general calling. It's not a do more good things with your life than bad and you'll be okay. It's not that. It's like an arrow, a sniper. It's a specific calling that he's placed on your life. Everyone say specific. And so in this verse, Paul tells us this. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run, we'll stay here. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Here's what I'm saying. God's given all of us a race and a purpose, which means I don't have time to take 3 steps and then sit here and watch Netflix for 6 hours. I'm sorry. It's just not happening, guys. And I don't have time to take 3 steps. And then be on social media and get caught up in all this drama for days and weeks and then not spend time with God. I don't got time for that. If you're going to run a race, you got to run the race, guys. I guarantee you, those who run races, they don't run with distractions in mind. No one plans to be distracted, right? No one plans to be distracted. But in a culture and a society that gives us so many options, Disney Plus, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, here's what happens. It no longer becomes a race of like, what should I do or what should I do? It's more like, I have all these options. How do I do all of them? And we lack purpose and we lack value because our lives become so distracted and so filled with stuff that we're just tied and attached to all these things. And we want, here's why you feel like you don't have purpose, because you've given everything purpose. At the end of the day, guys, at the end of the day, if Satan cannot take away your authority and take away your purpose with pain and suffering, he will take it away with pleasure and distractions. He will make it so when you get home from school, you just want to chill out, watch Netflix, get on the internet, and then do your homework, and then spend time with God if you have time. See, I think we're doing a good job. Guys, I'm preaching to myself. Is that okay? Cool. I do a good job when bad things are happening and trusting God. Bad things are happening and trusting God. Right? Bad things are happening. I'm going to pray. I'm going to press in. But then things are going well, and all of a sudden, like, I value chilling out more or hanging out with my friends more or, you know, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, because I don't have any pain motivating me towards God, now pleasure motivates me away from God. And I'm not talking about pleasure as in, although pleasure very well can mean sin. Paul talks about the weight and sins that ensnare us. Sorry, actually, I don't know if it's Paul. Is this making sense? I was talking to Granny a few months ago. Actually, maybe like a few years ago by this point. And she was telling me how when they were younger, like they would all, and she lived on a, what's like a farm or ranch? Ranch? Vegetable? Where do they live? Sorry, no, they lived in Chicago. They had a business. Never mind. Anyways, not the point. There's no coins in the house. So, oh, there is. Megan. They just had a house, right? They didn't have like a farm or ranch, right? Okay, cool. Anyways, they had a business. And then they had two businesses. So I was talking to Granny, and she was just telling me like a story of, I don't even know what the story was about, like, her like husband coming home. It's a really sweet story. But one thing that she said that just stuck with me was she was saying, yeah, we had dinner, and then after dinner my mom brought out dessert. I was like, oh, what was dessert? A can of Coke. Was a dessert. It's not funny. It's funny. A can of Coke was a dessert. As in, you don't drink three of them while eating your tacos. It was a dessert. That blew my mind. I was like, what the heck? What the heck? And I feel like this is a picture of our culture. We take one can of Coke. We take one pleasure of life. And we multiply it. And we saturate our lives with it so much that we can no longer enjoy the strawberry, no longer enjoy the grape, because we've been so saturated with, we're not supposed to drink 24 grams of sugar in a few minutes, guys, we're not. And because we've saturated our life with pleasure, we've lost meaning, and we've lost direction, and we've lost purpose, because we're just so numb to it all. And it gets worse with Diet Coke. Sin is like Diet Coke. Sin is totally like Diet Coke. You guys want to hear something? I'm going to get on the stage for this one. Here's what happens in your brain with Diet Coke. You get the taste of sugar without the satisfaction of sugar. You get the taste of sugar without the satisfaction of sugar. Which means when you drink Diet Coke, it doesn't satisfy your natural need for sugar, which brings you to want more and more of something that will never satisfy you because it doesn't have. That's known as a counterfeit. And so many of these distractions, or just things in life, whether it's a relationship with a boyfriend, a relationship with a girlfriend, even down to drugs and alcohol, or just listening to music, or whatever these distractions are, or whatever it is that's pulling at your purpose and your life, these are just counterfeits that will never satisfy you. Because they're not designed, they don't have the sugar, they're not designed to satisfy you. All of those things, not the drugs and the alcohol, no, I'm not talking about that. But relationships, and even like watching TV, or hanging out with friends, all of those things should complement your life, not be the purpose of your life. So Paul tells us to run a race as if you're trying to win, which means I'm running with everything I've got. Now, I keep saying this over and over again, guys. I'm not saying that those things are bad. I'm not saying you can't watch Netflix. I'm not saying you guys can't watch, you know, Hulu. Is anything good on Hulu? I don't think anything's good on Hulu. No. Anyway, we're moving on. It's not the point. Guys, we just don't have time for these things if we're going to fulfill what God has called us to do. Yeah. Next verse. Okay. We're excited. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Oh, that's good in its own, but I can't get... Temperate means like leveled. As in, like, you have a good foundation. I'll leave that with you. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Someone say amen. Next verse. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Say here. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Not with uncertainty. Here's what the Bible says, that God is not a God of confusion, but he's a God of peace. If there's any confusion in your life, it's not God's fault. If you ever feel like you're like in this, and this happened in my life. After I graduated high school, I tried college and I was confused as heck because I was like, I am in this place. I'm grabbing a hold of this distraction, but it's not satisfying me. I'm doing all these things, but it's not, it's like I would literally drive to school, wait an hour to find parking, and then walk to, be in the middle of walking to class, and I would just feel this literal pull. Pull of just like all it would, if a pool could talk, it would say this: what are you doing here? Why are you here? Well, because my teachers told me to, because my counselor told me to, because my mom expects me to be here. Doesn't everybody need to get a degree? I'm not saying you shouldn't get a degree. I'm just saying do what God calls you to do. That is the point. For me, in my life, God was not calling me to that. I was just doing it because that was a routine. That's just what seemed like the normal thing to do. That's what I had been fed my entire high school life of A through G requirements to get into a UC or a Cal State. Am I the one who heard these things? Cool. And I would just walk back and I would leave. And I was running a race with uncertainty, which means I'm not really running the race because I have no idea where the race is. And so for those of us who, I know that there's people in the room, you're like, I know my race. I know where God's calling me, and I see it, and I'm going to run forward, get rid of the distractions, not be so saturated with stuff, and really put my purpose and my calling in God. I'm going to put that in the forefront. I'm going to run. A lot of us are like that. Some of us aren't. Some of us are running with uncertainty. You're running here. You're running there. You're trying to figure out life on your own. And today, you probably can't say, oh, yeah, God, like, you probably wouldn't be able to figure out today what God's calling you to do. And that is okay. Okay. We're not asking you to figure everything out. All I'm asking you is, can you spend time with him tomorrow? Can you spend time with him on Friday? Can you come back on Sunday? Can you come back on Wednesday? Just walk. Just watch as you start to put more of a priority on God. He's going to show up a lot more. Bible says this, as you draw near to him, he draws near to you. It's a compounding effect. And I'll say one more thing, okay? For for those of you who are running with uncertainty, because that was me. After high school, I was running really fast towards nowhere. I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And I became an intern. Now, God didn't say, here's a direction, now take it. All I did was recognize that I was running with uncertainty, and I chose to run with certainty. I had no idea I was going to become a pastor. I had no idea I was going to become, you know, leader of a media team. I had no idea that we're going to have more interns. I had no idea all those things. The only thing I was certain of, guys, listen to me. The only thing I was certain of is God loves me, and he has a plan and a purpose for me. I don't know where to run, but I know who to run to. Listen to me. The example, God leads with himself. If you just run towards him and make him your purpose and him your passion, you're going to find that calling and that destiny. You will. All right. You guys okay? Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air. That's a really good verse, too, but we'll talk about that Sunday. But I discipline my body and bring into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I'll end part two with this point. But I discipline my body and bring into subjection. It's not easy to say no to soda. It's not easy to say no to, you know, for me, it's hard for me to say no to sugar-free Red Bull. That is something that I have difficulty saying no to. I will admit it, in front of everyone, I might have a problem. Or not. I don't know. But at the end of the day, everyone say at the end of the day, as I pursue and as I put a priority and as I make Jesus first in my life and everything in my life, he comes first. You know, before I watch Netflix, he comes first, and then Netflix. And if I just make him the priority in my life, then you will start to learn to discipline your body and to bring, it says here, bring it into subjection. Everyone say subjection. Subjection means to bring under. Everyone say under. Which means that your thoughts, your emotions, and your body, you bring it under the Spirit of God. You bring it under your relationship with God. If you let all of those things be dictated by your relationship with him, you'll get rid of your depression like that. You'll get rid of your anxiety like that. Because if you make your life bow down to Jesus, then he just embraces you. Like Jesus said this, I pray that me and you would become one just like me and the Father are one, so that we can all be one. And if you're in Jesus, listen, perfect love casts out all fear. And if you run the race and make yourself one with Jesus and one with God the Father, there's no room for depression. There's no room for anxiety. There's only room for Jesus, and he's love, he's joy, he's peace, he's kindness, he's gentleness, he is self-control. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We got to stop. Father, we thank you for this message, Lord. Thank you for everything that was said and everything that was heard. We thank you that we walk out of here differently than the way we walk in, excited and encouraged to just run after you, God. We want more of you, Lord. Not just on Wednesdays, not just on Sundays, but every day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.